Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, we've got our first few live shows coming up in 2022. We've got live shows in London and Guernsey.
Our London show is on Thursday. Thursday's a new Friday, the 27th of January. It's at Covent Garden Studios. The doors are at 6:30. The show's at 7:30. We've got two shows for you. It's going to be an absolute blast.
And then we head to the beautiful island of Guernsey, where we're doing a live show with special guest Angela Barnes at St. James. That's on February 2nd, and we cannot wait.
Yeah, baby. And you can get all of the tickets from drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
London and Guernsey.
London and Guernsey.
We've lost Taylor.
Drunk women solving. Drunk women solving crime. Drunk women. Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
All right. Have you had a good break? Nice. Give me a cheer if you're having a drink tonight. Oh, very nice indeed.
Welcome aboard. I'm hosting this one. Strap in.
Yay!
Thank you. Have we got new people?
Oh,
yay! Hey, welcome.
Welcome, new people.
Hi,
hi, Lauren.
Welcome. She has children, so she had to come late. I know that feeling. Virtual high five. Good. I don't know where my children are.
Just mine.
You're a, I mean, I know where they probably are. It's fine. This is my big red clock.
There we go.
Taylor, my beautiful assistant, is putting it there.
Now, Katie said I'm beautiful. That means a lot. I borrowed her nail polish. It's very single white female tonight, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm going blonde. I didn't mean to do that, but it happened. Hi.
I think it's working.
Your children are with me.
I think that's enough crowd work. This is where Pink Moscato meets the Pinkerton Agency.
Ooh. Very nice.
This is where a Goldschlager meets a jewelry heist. Yeah, I feel like less of you have had Goldschlager. You maybe weren't students in the 90s, but it was big for it. You could either get a Goldschlager or you could... I don't know why I'm... What's the drink where you put the little shot of the thing in the other drink? Yeah. It was like... No, you could. Oh, which one do you want? Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. My God, there are so many names for these things.
Yeah, that's
now.
The name I learned, and then I tried to order one of those in Ireland, and then I learned it's really, really offensive. Sometimes that's how we learn.
All right.
Hadn't thought it through. Oh, it's not offensive here, just in Ireland. No, just don't order it in Ireland. Yeah.
So
it's fine.
So therefore it's fine. Right, I'll do the third one. It's my own fault. This is where a black Russian meets a black widow.
Oh, okay.
It's a true crime podcast with a twist.
Of life.
Yay. Now, without further ado, we have a fantastic guest for you tonight. It's the political commentator and comedian, Ayesha Hazarika.
Yay!
Welcome! Ayesha!
Hello. Turn my span
doing?
Around as I sat down. This is so good. This is so nice to see people.
Yay!
So nice. Give us a cheer if you're just glad to be out.
Yay!
Give me a cheer if you're just glad to be away from your children.
Yay!
Not right!
Yes. I love when you ask that question. I don't even have kids and I cheer. I did actually hear that like vasectomies were going up as a sort of Christmas present for fathers, like after the lockdown.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Really hard to wrap, but
yeah. That's a good tip. Anyone that hasn't thought of anything.
Yes.
For the men in your family, they don't want socks. They want vasectomies. Now, Ayesha, can you tell us, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yes, I have. So I've got two crimes to report, actually.
Okay.
The first one's actually themed into a story that we heard earlier.
Okay.
About somebody doing a poo.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember that story? Yeah. So I had this big row on Twitter with...
That's a great start.
It's a great
story.
Start.
Yeah.
With the ITV journalist Robert Peston. You see where this is going. And... it's like I was presenting some radio show on Radio 4 and I think we had like reviewed Toy Story 4 or something and we didn't really like it. And okay. Robert Peston really liked it and went absolutely mad.
Like, and he took it to Twitter.
Totally, like it was like massive Twitter beef, like it really all kicked off. And Robert Peston is a neighbour of mine.
Wow.
And it all really, really kicked off. And I was like, anyway, kicked off. Anyway, somebody did a massive poo on my doorstep.
Uh-oh.
I know. And I was like, you've got to respect me as a human being. Like, I'm like really serious. I'm like a big deal. I'm like a serious human in my own right. And then I was there on my hands and knees wearing goggles, cleaning up this human shite. And I'd used a pizza box as a sort of shovel, right? Like, so I'm scooping up human shite with my Domino's pizza thing. And then I hear this voice going, well, hello. I just look up, I'm on my hands and knees with my goggles.
Oh,
I was like, hi, Robert. Hi. Hi. And I thought, maybe it was Robert Peston. Maybe it was Robert Peston getting his revenge
come
on
to
me.
Gloat at you cleaning up with a pizza box.
Exactly.
Ironically, this is the biggest scoop we've had on this podcast.
Wow.
Yeah. And then my second bit of crime also involves in front of my
house. I love that. We're just going to move on from that, actually.
Just move on from that.
Do you know what? Robert Peston took a shit on my doorstep.
Yeah.
And
never shit on your own doorstep. Yeah. But also, I did ring his girlfriend. I was like, did Robert shit on my doorstep? She's like, what is wrong with you? Actually, she went, I don't think so.
Oh, my God, but she couldn't be sure.
It's a joke. But then I had this other thing where, like, I did my recycling using a bag for life, and I was just about to move house.
Yeah.
And I was, like, looking out my window, and I saw this guy just empty all my recycling onto the street and steal the bag for life.
I know.
It's like the means. It was terrible. So I was also wearing my nightie looking like a demented woman. Like I sort of looked like Miss Havisham, like a sort of beige Miss Havisham.
And when you do sleep in a wedding dress, right?
Of course.
Okay. Just checking.
And I was like, what the fuck do you think you're doing? My worst Glaswegian accent. And he was just like, fuck.
Wow.
And ran off with my bag for life.
Oh my God. I've got to ask, is this before or after the Domino's pizza shit?
That's a good point. I think this is after the Domino's incident. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And you can see why I moved now, can't you? You really can see why I moved house.
I love that you just went for it. Like, yeah, fuck you. Don't steal my bag. I love that you did that.
I did. Because I'm so tight. I'm both Indian and Scottish. So, like, my levels of tightness are just like, I'm like, that's my bag. I need my 50p back.
Oh, yeah. My God. Oh, I love the idea of your realtor trying to sell your house. Like, it's a lovely neighborhood. Yeah. Neighbors all get along really, really well.
But you know, the worst thing is, as I left my house, like I moved about 3 months ago, there was a lot of rubbish outside my house. But also, I didn't know what to do with the toilet brush. Like, I took out the toilet, like, the old toilet brush. And my boyfriend was like, maybe we'll leave it as a gift for the next people. I was like, no! Yeah. It's not like a hi, welcome to your new home. Here's my shitty toilet brush. Like, hi.
Yeah, no, get them a vasectomy if you're going to get them anything.
Get them, exactly. A snip at the prize. And
come on! Hey. Now we started!
But the worst thing was is the poor people that were moving in, they arrived and they locked in the door and they were like, hi. And I didn't know what to do, so I just gave them the toilet. I had a cam reach. I was like, I've really got to go. Enjoy the house. Good luck. Here's a toilet brush. Bye.
Wow.
Oh, that's great.
And don't pick a fight with Robert Peston.
Somewhere they're telling that story, aren't they?
Yes, like, yes,
and
definitely.
This woman came out of our new home and gave us a shitty toilet brush.
Would also like to say Robert Peston was actually a very nice neighbour to me during lockdown. And he sort of did take me on very long walks. So he's a very good, like, wow. Me and his dog, we went on long walks.
So you made up after the whole Toy Story
Yeah,
thing.
We did, actually. We did. He apologised, I accepted it. And then we went on lots of lockdown walks. Aww. So it's a happy end to the
story. That's a beautiful lockdown story.
Yeah.
We need more of that.
Yeah. It's true.
Well, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not good... terrible crimes, but it's a beautiful ending to that story.
I mean, there's a shit in it. I mean, it's all Chateau Marzoir's
stuff. I think that gives us closure.
Yeah, I think it's
Which
good.
One made you more angry?
The bag for life.
I had a feeling it was that. Yeah. That's great.
I'd rather clear up shit than watch someone steal from me.
In a nightie.
Yeah.
You can get rid of the shit, but you're never getting that bag back.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. Injustice.
It was not, in fact, for life.
They never are.
Especially if you throw up in one.
I don't know why we all keep falling for this. But that's another podcast. On that note, are we ready to solve some true crime? Okay. I have the details of a case. No one else knows anything about this. I'm going to trickle some information and see what
trickle.
These...
Just setting the tone, guys. Just setting the tone.
Listen up, knuckleheads.
It's been ages since you said that, Sassy.
Yay! I've gone Coke classic. Right. Now, I'm going to start this case. We're in a countryside village. Mm-hmm. Some adverts appear for a mysterious Madam X.
Ooh.
Correct.
Isn't that Madonna's new album? Is this very recent?
I mean, do you know what? I can neither confirm nor deny. So, Madame X is passing through a nearby town, and a group of servants that work in a fancy house all receive letters inviting them to meet Madame X for free. So I want to kick us off with two questions. Number one, what service is Madame X offering? And number two, what year do we think this is?
Oh. Fortune telling.
Okay.
1912. Hey. You gonna let her take your year for life?
I did not know what the fuck I'm gonna do now, but
1921. I really mean 1917 though. 1917. Mm-hmm. 1917.
Didn't you see that in 4DX? Is that you? No, someone told me they saw.
Katie's
was it you?
Oh, 90. Oh, fucking hell. I saw, you know, yeah. With the fucking rumbling and the spraying water and stuff.
Saw it 1917.
It
How did they even let that happen?
It was so inappropriate.
So wrong.
Like, it's not Star Wars. It's not some great fantasy adventure. This is real people's lives.
I loved it. We were just like on their WhatsApp group. We were just like, how was date night? We saw 1917 in 4DX and I don't know whether we should have done.
I cannot believe that happened. That's insane.
That is insane. Oh, dear.
But sorry, the question, what do you think?
It's like Schindler's List. Like, you just don't do it.
Who does that?
So, madam, I think she's giving out... Maybe she's giving out sort of medical advice.
Ooh. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, medical advice.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah, particularly to women, young women.
Okay, so, yeah. Okay. Any advance on the year? You're like 1912 or higher or lower?
I'm going to go a bit earlier.
Okay.
I'm going to be like 1890s.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Is it something to do with the X-Men?
I
think it might be X-Men shit and 13.
Okay, so
what service are you offering, X-Men shit?
Like laser eyes, whatever. You know what, Hannah? If you'd gone the other way, you would have beaten the audience member. It's 1911.
Oh shit! But you still won.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't count.
I guess I did.
You count very much. Thank you for coming.
So yeah, and Taylor Glenn is correct. Is a clairvoyant. Madame X is a clairvoyant. It's 1911. Now, the Edwardian era, I've discovered, although he died in, I think, something like 1910, they count the Edwardian era until the start of the First World War.
Do they?
Yeah.
They just didn't know what else to call
it. Everyone was having tea on the lawn until they started bombing each other.
Really?
So, that's my understanding of history.
Enjoy it in 4DX.
So, now... Okay, so Madame X is offering to read these particular servants' fortunes for free. Now, normally this costs a tuppence. Ka-ching, back of the net, savings. Now, one by one, the servants, mainly maids, go to meet Madame X in a darkened room above a tailor's shop. She's shrouded in a robe, covered in like moons and cats. And so you know the drill, fortune teller stuff. Now, most of them get told rosy future stuff. You're going to marry a man. You're going to meet him soon. It's all going to be great. You're going to have a lovely life. Now, one servant doesn't want to come and have her fortune read. So Madame X starts telling the other maids fortunes like something will happen to a servant with a name with a P in it. She must come and see me. All this kind of stuff. Now word gets back. So a servant called like Polly or whatever, eventually... got mixed sources on this. She eventually reluctantly comes to see Madame X. Now Polly gets told a different fortune to the others. Question, what does Polly get told?
Oh, great. The one that didn't want to go gets the shitty fortune. That's not a good business model. That's all I have to say.
All right.
This is just bad business.
It's not good capitalism. Anyone else?
Oh, shit. Was she told you will get on a boat? It's 1911, bitches.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. If she goes on the Titanic, I will shit myself here. I mean... Katie, a lot is riding on this.
Any advance on shitting myself on stage?
It's kind of quite hard to follow that, really, isn't it? It is quite hard to follow. No, I can't think of anything. It's just like, no.
All right, okay.
Does she foretell her death?
No.
Damn it.
But it is bad.
Okay, good.
Does she foretell that she's going to get a terminal illness?
No, but that's a great guess too.
Does she say, you're going to be the next Madame X, and it's like Princess Bride?
Ooh, yeah. Very Twilight Zone.
I might kill you in the morning.
Does she say, have you had an accident at work recently?
I really wish
you missold PPI.
She's like, yes, thank you.
She was the first person that was happy to have that question. No, these are all wonderful guesses. Basically, she gets told initially, it's a bit of a creepy one. She gets told that she's going to come into some money, so it sounds good. Mm. But then the fortune teller kind of changes gears and she's like, but you don't deserve this money. And basically accuses this servant of overhearing a secret in the family's house and using that telling the secret to someone else and blackmailing this family. And she kind of really ramps up and says, you've been stealing secrets and you've sold these secrets and you went back and you tried to hear more secrets. You sold it to your sweetheart and you're blackmailing this family. Your future is a courtroom and jail for the crime of blackmail.
Yes. That doesn't sound like a fortune. That's like when you get like a fortune cookie and it just says what's happening in the present. Like, that's not...
All right, look, I think you are sitting it.
Do you know what I mean, though?
Do you like, want she's me to do it in a funny her. Voice? Will that make it better?
No. I'm just genuinely asking, is she saying that she's going to do these things? Or is she saying, like, you've been telling lies and... I mean, sorry, yeah. You've been overhearing secrets and...
You know what?
Do you see what I mean?
It's a valid point that you raise...
But it's boring, isn't it?
No, you know what?
It is, though.
The trouble is, it's...
We'll move on.
It's relevant. Now.
I'm okay with that.
Polly admits everything and says that her sweetheart has made her blackmail this family. She accidentally heard the first secret and then she started doing all the stuff. Now, Madam... Oh, also, she promises to stop, blah, 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 doing all the blackmailing. Now...
So it's true. She was doing that.
Yes.
How did Madam X know?
Okay. That's the question. Let me ask my next question.
What's a friar?
Yeah. You want to go? No. Okay. Now, Madam X is not a real fortune teller. Question. What is Madam X? What's her real job?
Police officer.
Police officer. Any advance?
Loads of people saying prostitute. Like, just loads. I heard prostitute from everywhere. I feel like she is working for the family in the big house, for sure. Or the White Star Line. Mm. Still not decided.
Okay. So, we've got... She owns a brothel from the audience.
What is her real job? Why would she be...
Or maybe she's like...
Hairdresser who gets all the gossip. Nice intel from the audience over there, too. Oh, you guys have got to step it up.
Maybe
is she a private investigator that the family hired?
Oh. Okay. Ding, ding, ding.
Oh! That was the present for the audience. Jeez. Oh, jeez.
No, there's two.
I thought we had done it again.
Oh. Okay. If we get through that one, we're in danger.
No one let us bend down.
Okay.
I've always said that.
This is private. Can I have a top up too? It's definitely a good idea. This is Private Detective Maud West.
Oh, Maud West. Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's not great.
Female detective. Yes, good. Right. Okay, now, she's not just any private detective.
Do you want me to hold your drink?
Is that mine?
Yeah.
Well, then you can't hold yours.
I don't know.
Female workplace.
All right. Okay, you can hold it for now. Let's see how this goes. No, you don't need to hear that story. Right. Now, she is not just any private detective. She is the premier Edwardian lady detective.
Ooh.
Yes. She... Everyone's got love. She owns her own detective agency, and she is one of two women at this time to own her own detective agency.
Oh, Maud.
But there were hundreds and... There were hundreds and hundreds of lady private detectives at this time in London, and we will get to the reasons for that in a second.
That's fucking rad.
Yeah.
I love her.
That is so cool. Yeah. That's so cool.
Uncovered history of this is really interesting. Like, not that this is... it's not a history podcast. There's jokes. Anyway. Right.
Now, just tell me if you want to sip, and I'll get your drink, okay?
Do you know what? This is... No, you just still don't need to hear this. Thank you. Okay. thing is, I've oversold it. So what it is on my wedding day, I couldn't carry a bag, so my best friend had to carry all the stuff I needed. So like every now and then I'd be like, lipstick.
Aww.
I was like, Mariah Carey.
Aww.
That's a very dated reference.
But one we all we're sold. We all got it. We all went, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It checks out. I mean, I was Kim Kardashian.
No, but for the young stars, yes. Young stars, the youngsters, she Gemma Collins.
I was that YouTuber you all like. Anyway,
are you an influencer?
Now, one source described her as armed with a revolver and a selection of ingenious disguises. She successfully unmasked blackmailers, caught adulterers, and foiled jewel thieves. A real-life female Sherlock Holmes. And some of her disguises are incredible, and half the time she dressed as men as well. Yes. Now, she pretended to be a clairvoyant to get this confession of blackmail from this servant, and as you correctly ascertained, the family had hired her. Now, Maud West isn't even her real name.
I ascertained that.
Also, I wanted to say Sherlock Holmes, but I didn't want to interrupt, guys, but I wanted to say it.
Okay. You're so much better than all my sources.
I just keep thinking of a Lady Deerstalker.
Yes.
Like, what outfits was she wearing?
Oh, my God. Little pockets on the side of tampons. That kind of thing.
Just like, how cool did she look?
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'll come back to you.
Magnifying glass for dicks, am I right? Sorry, I've taken it too far. I just thought, what else does Sherlock Holmes have?
I wasn't even listening. I'm just going to tell you to shush. I'm going to crack on with the case.
Maud West. Sorry, where are we again? I apologise.
We're in Edwardian, fake Edwardian, but still Edwardian England.
England, we're in England. Maud West, was that her real name?
No.
No.
I was about to say, her real name is Edith Elliot. Her dad was a sailor. Her mum was a domestic servant. She was born in Deptford, South London in 1880. She ran away from home at age 20 to marry her sweetheart, Harry. They have 5 kids. And then they live in Finchley.
She I love it. Did not give a shit about these women just breaking barriers. Finchley!
We got the Finchley Massive.
Oh, yeah. The Wests are in, yeah.
So.
The Elliots, I suppose.
Anyway, Harry, the husband, gets sick. They need another income. Question, how does Maud West get started in being a detective?
Ooh. 5 kids. She's resourceful. She's in the parental community. I think one of her mother friends... suspects her husband is being unfaithful. Ooh. And she knows that Maud is a real dab hand.
Mm.
Is that a thing?
Mm.
With investigation.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. You know.
All yeah, right. No, I love that. I think, she was just a bit of a nosy bitch.
I was just thinking, I think she's just like...
That's the expression I was looking for.
Don't be around the bush, Tyler.
She's just like Nightmare Mum, isn't she? And she's probably quite aggressive. Like, she's the woman that knows everything that's going on and is also probably quite judgy and knows everything.
Okay.
She's probably, like, got an Edwardian Facebook page that is, like, throwing a lot of shade on people.
Like, do you think, like, oh, who forgot cakes?
Yeah. No, noted, reported, flagged out.
None of you have quite got it. It was via her uncle.
We haven't had an uncle in a while, have we?
No.
On this
but
show.
But now, this is not a creepy uncle story.
Okay!
It's a nice uncle.
Oh, just good old nepotism.
So he was a solicitor and he offered to pay her to help him solve a robbery by posing as a maid. Now, she doesn't hesitate. She wants adventure and they needed the money. So basically, she goes to...
Lauren, are you listening? Yeah. So we could shake things up.
So her real identity, obviously married with kids. She also partly raised her sister, blah, blah, blah. But she takes on this persona, very secretive.
Ooh.
Now, she established her own... She went from there, did the job, established her own agency in 1905, and she employed both men and women
as
detectives.
What a stretch to play a maid after you've raised 5 children.
I
I don't know how I will pull this off.
There was a huge boon. Oh, she kept the best cases for herself. There was a huge boon in lady detectives in this era for two main reasons. And I wondered if you guys could guess the reasons.
Two main reasons.
It's 1911. We're ramping up to a war. It's the end of the Victorian era is over. We're in sort of modern times for the times.
Wait, like, so people started trusting women more at this point?
Yeah, okay.
I know, it seems disgusting. Yeah. So, like, we're in 1911.
Yeah.
Only when they're forced to, though.
Yeah.
You know?
And it didn't
forcing
last.
Them to.
No.
Men are cheating a lot. That's a very good guess, actually.
Well, like, women just fucking better at it.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes, like, you know, women are a lot of the time just fucking better at stuff. Sorry, four men we have in the audience. I appreciate you. I see you. But we're better detectives, is what I'm saying. But...
I thought you were going to say they were better at cheating.
Yeah.
That's how you... I was like, that's very confident. I love that. That's true equality.
But also, maybe it's because women were in such sort of like servitude. Yeah, they were in those kind of roles. So in terms of going undercover.
Yeah.
That was very much like elf's fisting there. But going undercover.
Is that what Rosie the Riveter is actually doing?
Oh, no.
What?
What a shame.
Drunk women solving crime.
Hey guys, you know how I don't like to talk about myself? Well, I nailed being sassy last year, so now I'm fine with it. I'm great. Have you heard how great I am? I wrote another book.
Oh yes, your latest brilliantly funny book, You're Not the Boss of Me, comes out in February this year, doesn't it?
6th of February 2022, baby! My New Year's resolution this year is to get everyone to buy it. It's important to have achievable and realistic goals.
You're Not the Boss of Me is a laugh-out-loud story about fighting for your right to steal the show from the much-loved author of When Good Geeks Go Bad, The Weird Friends Fan Club, and My Best Friend and Other Enemies series. That's you.
That's me!
Amy Miller is a very positive person, and she is fully prepared to be the star of the school comedy show. But when Harry is put in charge, he stops her from performing or writing or doing anything fun.
Amy can't understand what's happening until her sister tells her Harry is being sexist and Amy must take a stand. Armed only with killer one-liners, Amy goes into battle to fight for her right to make people laugh.
Published by Nosy Crow, Catherine Wilkins has been described as properly funny by The Independent and hilarious by Harry Hill. That's you!
That's me!
Perfect for ages 8 to 80, You're Not the Boss of Me is available to pre-order at all good bookshops now.
Oh yes, please pre-order it if you fancy it. It will make me look extra sassy.
Sassy Katie!
Sassy Katie!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, my name's Hunter, and I'm an ex-cheerleader from the Kansas City High School Rototillers. They kicked me off for an incident which was not properly investigated involving Reagan Kaczynski's phone. And, like, by the way, I don't even have Reagan's login details anymore ever since last year's prom when she ran off with my boyfriend, Frick. So now, I'm flying solo. I'm the solo cheerleader. And you know what? I'm here to shout out the first patrons of 2022 for Drunk Women Solving Crime. Ready? Okay. When I say Emily, I say Ward. Emily, Ward. Emily, Ward. When I say Emma, I say Kenna Gallagher. Emma, Kenna Gallagher. Emma, Kenna Gallagher. When I say Bremen, I say Welch Clark, Bremen Welch Clark, Bremen Welch Clark. When I say Abby, I say Harris, Abby, Harris, Abby, Harris. When I say Christina, I say Jarvis, Christina, Jarvis, Christina, Jarvis. When I say Katie, I say Wild, Katie, Wild, Katie, Wild. When I say Angela, I say McGarrigle, Angela McGarrigle, Angela McGarrigle. When I say Tatiana, I say Kolopenko, Tatiana, Kolopenko, Tatiana, Kolopenko. When I say Malin, I say Masterson, Malin, Masterson, Malin, Masterson. When I say D, I say D, 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 D. When I say a gnome, I say a gnome, a gnome, a gnome, a gnome, a gnome. Okay, woo!
So I think it's because women were able to get into places more and are better.
All right, do you have anything to add, Aisha?
Maybe as well, it was the fact that, like, because society was beginning to change, that there was just a lot more suspicion of people and people gaining confidence and people thinking, we must stop that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, do you know what?
Suffrage.
You're on the money. Suffrage.
Suffrage.
Yes.
I'm just trying to backtrack from the Rosie the Riveter gag that did not go down well.
You know what? You
suffrage.
You guys,
I support.
You're on the money.
Suffrage.
You haven't. I'm going to get to. You've all kind of said the second reason. None of you've got the first reason, but I didn't expect that you would. Because it was. No.
Well.
All right, sorry, I'll tell you the reason and you tell me if you...
No, I'm joking. Right,
you tell me if this was on the tip of your tongue. The Marriage Act of
1857.
57? Oh, my God.
Of 1857?
Yeah.
Which is a lot before this year.
Taylor, I take it back. I take it back. You know everything.
They allowed divorce this?
Yeah. So the key point about that is you're allowed a divorce if you can prove adultery.
We're still waiting for that in the Indian community. We're still waiting for that moment to happen.
Would some private detectives help?
Yes, or just your mum. Asian mums are really good at this stuff. Yeah.
Can get that going. So the other thing was just like a sort of a general relaxing of standards. But I will tell you more about that. So basically, I want to cover some quick social issues and then I'll get back to the case. Because a lot of being a detective was, as you said, Hannah, it's, you know, you're a scullery maid, you're invisible, no one cares. You're skulking around hotels, spying on people having affairs. You can, you know, and then they're like, oh, shit, there's someone testifying in court that I had an affair.
Yeah, so it's like all, spies in disguise.
Yeah,
it's nobody knows his pigeons.
All that kind of
same
stuff.
Same thing.
That's actually a really good movie.
It's amazing.
Yeah, what does Preston think? I don't know. I want to go to him on all animated movies from now on.
There's a lot of shitting in it.
Yeah, there is.
Whatever else I do wrong on this podcast, like the rest of this case, I'm not Amanda's most hated person. The edit.
We'll beep him. It'll be fine. I'm just going to say that from now on. Okay, go on.
Okay, so listen, times were changing and it was acceptable for middle-class women... let's not get carried away, to be unaccompanied in public. I know, right? Madness.
Also very unsafe for women, which is the problem.
Were they told to flag down a bus if anything bad happened?
Oh, my God.
Yes.
You know what? They were. It is not a good situation. My next question is, what facility did women need that had not been previously provided for them in public spaces?
Toilets.
It is toilets.
Wow.
Not on your street, but... on the off chance it was a woman, but I think it was...
Okay, so listen.
Now you've pissed her off and hurt her ears.
Now, department stores were some.
Sorry, but what did they do before then? They just
didn't
use
go
the
out.
Toilet.
They got a bag for
they
life.
Weren't allowed out. But this,
this comes up in, I don't know who read Lean In back in the day when everyone was very excited about that. But like one of the things was like this, she went to that meeting. She was the only woman, all these executives. And she was like, oh, where's the bathroom? And this guy didn't know. He didn't know where the ladies' toilets was because there'd never been a woman in a meeting. It's that. Anyway, it's that. I'm with you.
It's crazy, though.
Now, department stores were some of the first good capitalists to start monetizing women's new freedoms.
Suffrage.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
That wasn't a question, but I answered it.
We have.
It.
So we've got. We've. They've all suddenly got refreshment rooms. Ladies can go to the Whiz Palace. There is. Yay. There's a boom in tea rooms. Restaurants are booming. Chicks just want to have a safe space to have a cucumber sandwich. But with great freedom comes gangs. Because okay. Literally there is a crime wave of lady gangs nicking from Selfridges. Yeah. Because suddenly it's okay for them to be out in public without someone going, where's your keeper? So now all these women can just be like, well, oh, I'm a fancy lady. Look over there. And now I'm nicking. So actually, a lot of the private detective work was shadowing people and stopping people nicking in shops.
What, like, but lady gangs? We can do gangs better, motherfuckers. Yes! Apologies to the four men. I respect you. And really, I really like you. Yeah. I know one of you.
You know what I mean? So many more folds to hide stuff in. I mean the clothes. Literally. Right. Clothing.
Okay, so Maud did some of that, but she kept the best cases for herself. So I'm going to do a little quick. She then started making the other people do those. So she did the I'll give you some of her highlights. In 1913, she was hired by a wealthy woman to tail her husband. This dude goes out of town, so she ends up following him across Europe and America.
Whoa.
That is tax deductible.
What?
Now, this man goes on mysterious outings and she follows him in various male disguises. Now, eventually she realizes that he's making lots of trips to meet a disreputable doctor. So my question is, what do you think he was doing with this doctor?
Playing doctors and nurses? Oh.
That is a very nice answer.
A male doctor.
Yeah, they're all male at this point.
Well, that's
it. I mean, there's like three women doctors, maybe.
Is he having an affair with the doctor?
Okay. Yeah?
Oh, gosh. It's really dark, but I feel like... I don't know. I feel like it's not going to be something good. Is it going to be like... I don't know. Does he...
No, it's not that.
I don't know. Does he get like... abortions from the doctor or something from his mistresses, like
okay, yeah.
It's really dark. I want to go back to the poo stuff,
you know,
guys.
What? I can no, I can
getting a vasectomy.
Oh, nice.
Yes,
you know what, I can see why you guys all went there. What happened was this doctor was illegally procuring corpses for the husband's human dissection hobby.
Oh,
I can't believe we didn't get that.
You guys are so off your game.
Hobby.
Right. Now, as I said, this is just the highlights, you guys. Now,
imagine just worrying that your husband's having an affair, and then like,
no, he only wants to fuck you, but he wants to dissect corpses. Can I please have a sip of my drink?
Yes.
So there's a lot of blackmail she has to put a stop to. I should say, in this era, reputation is everything. It's hair is everything, Anthony. but for reputation, so it's all like people have got so many secrets. It's all this bullshit everyone has to live by. Now, there's this one case, an American... No. Just doesn't say American. I just went there.
Oh, I can't wait to find out what they did.
Do you know what it is?
No, just
what I meant was there's this complete asshole.
Do you know what it is? The word A. And I just have trouble reading, it turns out. It says A woman.
Do you want me to take this back? Did you have your sip?
Oh, okay. You can't have it.
Okay.
No. Right. A woman, she could be American. But anyway, she's blackmailing the youngest son of a well-known family, and she was threatening to claim that she had been quote-unquote compromised by him.
That is a euphemism. I think in this instance, it means fingered.
Okay.
So, Maud is hired to entrap this woman so that there's leverage and they can stop the blackmailing. Okay.
What about the fingering?
Yeah, does that stop?
This is the thing. I don't know how they prove or disprove this, but I think that this woman saying she's been compromised by this guy will be enough shame. They don't want to deal with this thing. They need to stop the blackmail.
Did they call it fingering back then? I hope they did, because it feels very sort of like the 90s fingering, doesn't it?
It's very 90s.
Do you know what I mean?
The trouble is, we don't know if he actually did something and he's a bad guy, but he's got the money to hire a private detective to kind of quash it. Or if the person blackmailing is like a bad lady that just wants to feed her family.
No, there's no such thing as a bad lady.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah. So, because there's... Look what I said there. A bad lady needs to feed her family.
She's, yeah.
They forced her hand. Oh, well, here we are. Now, so Maud tries to entrap this woman. So she's staked out in a London nightclub, and she goes up to this woman. So Maud is dressed as a woman at this point. She goes up to this woman, but this woman does not want to talk to Maud. She is on the prowl for dick, and Maud is rebuffed. So she cannot gain the target's confidence. So she goes home or back to her office, and she gets changed, and she comes back as a man, but like a man of like unlimited wealth. And she starts chatting to this woman again. And then, according to my source, this woman now loves talking to Maud and latched onto her as a potential new victim. And Maud played along with... Now, I say played along. What happened was they snogged. And then Maud wrote in her... Because Maud wrote loads of articles and stuff. After having a lot to drink, I kissed her. Being a detective has its dark side. I'm not sure you can call that a dark side. It sounds like she just got horny. And also, women get to be sleazy too, because that's feminism. That's what we all fought for, right? Maud goes back to this woman's flat, and then she whips off her wig in a dramatic reveal and grabs the evidence and then gets out of there.
When you say grabs the evidence, is that a euphemism?
I mean,
yeah, what happened?
This is the thing. I don't have enough... Like, it's really tricky to find. There is actually a book about this, which I've been listening to on audiobook, but I haven't finished it. It's a really good book. It's by... I'll find her name in a minute.
No. Yeah, because what's the evidence that a woman has been fingered other than a disappointed face?
Well, so this is the truth. And that was the evidence, now I think of it. But it's like, so this is the thing. Maud was like a PR queen. Like, she wrote loads of her own articles and submitted them to the press to, like, publish them, to, like, be like, oh, you should hire Maud West. Look at these daring exploits. And then she sent, like, a photo of her dressed as a man for, like, her publicity photo. So she's very secretive, but very, like, on the money of what's sold.
Yeah.
So in this book, and I'll find this woman's name in a second because I've literally got it written down, it's half of it's, like, some of it's for the show, but some of it is really true. And a lot of it's true but exaggerated or, you know, names have been changed. I'll quickly ask you this. She shared a building. So her office was in a building, the same building... where a famous murderer had also had an office. That's so sorry. Weird. She shared a building with
her
a famous murderer.
Her office was in a building.
wait, let me start again. She shared a building with a famous murderer. Name that murderer.
Ooh, oh, I love Jack it. The Ripper.
Nice guess.
JTR. Yeah.
It's amazing we never found out who Jack the Ripper was when his little plaque was over his office. A famous murderer.
So what time are we talking? What time are we talking?
So it's Edwardian.
Okay.
And we have done a case on this famous murderer.
Ooh. So we're talking like, so it's still 19 teens.
Yeah. And I will give you a clue.
Shit.
He escaped on a ship with someone.
Oh! His wife was at in the music hall.
Yes.
He was called Dr. Crippen.
Yes.
She knows her murderers. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I do quite like it when the cases like cross over.
Yeah.
I mean, I smell a sitcom. I don't know about anyone else, but Crippen and Maud.
Yeah, but it's a really, because like in this building, so like the most reputable people, so like there's piano sales at the bottom, and then kind of like the further up in the offices it got, the work, like the people like snake oil salesmen at the top. So his
That's Crippen's a bit like the Daily Mail building.
And like Crippen's wife was like in the music bit at the bottom, and then Dr. Crippen's office was like quite near the top. With the news, the secretary that he then ran off with. And then it was all the other people that sang with the wife that like helped alert that the first wife had gone missing anyway. So that's just a bit of fun admin, social history. Oh man, I've missed the bit where I said who's the name of the person who wrote the book.
What book? Did I miss a book?
Oh man.
Was there a book mentioned?
I mean, Katie hasn't finished it, so I'm not sure. It's the audio book.
Susanna,
right?
Somebody.
Katie's doing her Boris Johnson impression right now.
Oh my God.
This might not go out for a few weeks, but that is topical as fuck. Yeah. So, yes.
Forgive me.
Oh, look, it's Susanna, somebody. She's a great historian, and she wrote this book about Maud West.
Oh, that book.
I want the film of Maud West. I want the film. I mean, yeah, this woman is like badass.
A series?
It's got to be a Netflix series.
I do, because this woman whose surname
called
I can't remember.
West?
It begins with an S. It's Susanna Salerno. It's like Salemni, but it's not Salemni. Why the fuck can't I find it? I really am. I'm even shit at being Boris Johnson.
Anyway.
So, West.
Susanna Stapleton.
Yes! Oh, my God!
Hey. That's a very honest man that holds up his phone.
I know. I Googled it. I would have styled that right the fuck out, David, but I love that you were like...
Yeah.
I know female authors, actually, and I'm one of the men in the room, so fuck you, Hannah.
All right. Susanna Stapleton unearthed all this stuff, and it was quite recently, and so she did a deep dive to find all this stuff. And because like basically Maud West was really famous in her time, and then it just gets buried because the people that write history books are not women.
Yeah.
So she uncovered all this stuff. So there may well be stuff in the pipeline because it's exciting. But also because all these articles would have been in the papers, like Agatha Christie definitely would have read about this. And there is some crossover with Plotline. I mean, like, I think Agatha Christie is exactly 10 years younger than Maud.
Oh wow.
And Maud went going until like the Second World War. Yeah. Like she's still going in the 30s.
Did she make a lot of money? Like was she quite wealthy?
Yeah, she did really well. Mm. And there was all different
girl boss, am I right?
Did she stay with her husband?
Yes, she loved her husband.
Okay.
And no, she really didn't. He was like sick and she But I mean, I haven't finished the book, but then there's this whole...
Maybe she hates him by the end.
But
no, I was just curious how, if he was supportive, I guess.
Yeah.
Did he unstack the dishwasher?
I think, and he wasn't like really particular and lectured her about where to put plates.
I'm just imagining this dishwasher, like at the time would have been like a maid. So pop that under her arm, that one under her arm.
But then after the First World War, I haven't written this down, but this is something that came up in the book. One of the big targets of crime was, because obviously there were loads of women and not enough men. And all the women couldn't get married, so they had to like get jobs and stuff. And then there was but they'd already had jobs in the but anyway, I'm saying this so bad. Anyway, shut up, Katie. Right. What happened was the loads of con artists tried to these women had been brought up to like trust everyone and not have any good business sense. And then so they were complete marks for all these people that were trying to con them out of money and stuff. So one of the things that Maud West did after the First World War was to try and put a stop to stuff like that.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
I should have really done this case another couple of weeks when I'd finished the book. Anyway, let's have raise a glass to Maud West.
Hey, Maud West.
Yes, please.
Genuinely, have you guys heard of Maud West?
Ooh, lovely.
We know Mae West. Yeah, exactly.
It's
But it's yet another story where it's like, we should all know who she is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But she just sounds so cool. Like, we need to know more about her. We need to have her story. Like, it's so true what you're saying. Like, because history just gets written by men.
Yeah.
You know? I know it's like cheesy, but like her story. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that is...
Yes. I want to know more about that snog.
I mean, forget Sherlock Holmes. I want to know about this woman. She's badass.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Plus the snog.
Yeah,
we need more to that.
We need details.
Someone's saying his Maud is not a good name.
Oh, I like Maud. I think it's kind of like...
You don't like Maud?
Is Edith, anyway.
All right.
Before the gig turns, I'm gonna let's do the listener gripe. So wait, somebody called Beth on Instagram.
Yay!
Hey! Hey! Beth! Beth, we've been told you have to get proper close to the microphone.
Yeah. Get as
you
close
can
as
you phone can. In your listener crimes, just so you know.
Get.
I was in year 7, so it was about over 10 years ago.
Okay. Oh, all right. Someone's very young.
All right. No one likes to show off.
Yeah. It's a cold case.
Speak up.
It's a cold case. It's a long time ago.
Okay.
And in my school, when we had our art lessons, we had to leave our bags down underneath the stairs, a couple of floors. Was down, so they're vulnerable. And there was a bit of thieving going around the school a few months earlier. Someone stole my flute. That came back. That was okay.
Oh, no.
But this is the big one. This is the big one.
Bigger than a flute?
No. This is more important.
Okay, a big one.
I come back down. I was really excited earlier that day. I'd bought one of the big bags of mini eggs back when they used to do the big bags.
Oh, my God.
And someone had rifled through my bag. They were at the bottom. I remember I'd put them at the bottom of my bag.
So no one could find it if they were trying to do it quickly. Yeah.
And I had to explain to my teacher. I was like, my things are being stolen. She was like, right, the mini eggs. Anything else being stolen? And I was like, yeah, my purse. But that doesn't matter. It's the mini eggs. So I want to know if it was... student,
who the fuck did it?
Some randomer off the street.
Does it feel like they knew the mini eggs were there?
I feel like they went searching for them.
Yeah.
Do you have any enemies? Did you go to school with these girls?
Can you break down who would have had access to these bags?
Anyone that could get into the school, which at the time was anybody, because they just didn't lock the doors.
Yes! Do you know what? I went back to my old school the other day and I was like, this is like a prison. It's
insane. They have gates now and you have to scan a fob, but when I first joined, it was just walk off the street.
Yeah.
Anybody.
But it's probably closer than that. It's an inside job.
Yeah, because it's somebody that wants mini eggs. Now, how many of the people you knew had strict mums that wouldn't eat them, let them eat chocolate?
I don't know.
Who would have known that they were even in there? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. That's why it's a cold case.
The flute teacher.
It could be.
I can just imagine her doing the flute and like mini eggs at the end of it. I don't know how flutes work, but it feels like as an image that's quite nice.
It's probably like that, isn't it? Yeah. It's like a speedball.
Yeah. Oh, God. I think it... What was your... Oh, no, you probably shouldn't say the name. I always like names, though. What was the name of your science teacher?
No.
Because he's not involved in this. That's fine.
I feel like...
Oh, she! You're completely right. You're completely right. What about your home economics teacher? What was he called? For podcast audience,
Nice save, Hannah. You talked to a teacher about what happened.
I did mention the purse, but the main concern was the mini eggs.
And they were very dismissive about the mini eggs, and then said, "What about the purse?" It was that teacher.
And did anything get recovered?
It was that teacher.
No recovery.
Did you have a frenemy?
I don't think so. It'll be news to me if I did.
And was there an assembly where they were like, if anyone stole a purse, put it back in here when we're not looking and there won't be any.
Oh no, that's gone now.
Like, if anyone had the mini eggs, good on you.
Yeah. There was thefts going about. I wasn't the only victim, but I don't think
definitely a teacher.
I don't think there was anyone else that lost their mini eggs.
Inside job. I think it was the teacher that.
Yeah, I think it was a teacher as well.
And what did she teach?
Feminism, Hannah.
Rosie the Riveter getting fisted, Taylor.
No, she's doing the fisting.
Oh,
it's empowering.
No, I mean, in my own mind, I fuck, I'm a misogynist. Oh, God. Well, I think, what subjects did the teacher teach?
She taught maths, but she was like my head of year as well.
Oh, head of year. It's a fucking head of year, isn't it?
Stressed out.
Was she on a diet at the time?
This goes all the way to the top.
I don't know.
Head of year.
I don't know.
So it was around Easter, I imagine. They only fucking bring mini eggs out at Easter, I realised the other day.
Was she nice to you afterwards?
Can you imagine finding that out in November? And you're like, I really fucking fancy a mini egg.
You just have to stock up.
No, Jesus says no. It was me, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, God.
So what do we think? Do we think the maths teacher, guys?
Yes.
Yes, I think it was the maths teacher.
All right, fuck you, the maths teacher. Have some rosé. Thank you, maths.
Sharing. All right.
Now I'm picturing Jesus at the Cadbury facility.
Thou shalt be dairy milk.
That's what he'd say, yeah. Fruit
Aisha.
And nut. All right, enough about Jesus now.
We have just enough time to hear what Aisha, what are you up to? Where can we find you?
So you can find me on Twitter at Aisha Hazarika. You can also hear my radio show, which is on Times Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 4 till 7. It's got a real mix of news and politics and debate and comedy and randomly a business section. Cool. Don't know what's going on there. I mean, who knew about that? Occasionally you have to do some sport as well. Culture, but it's always a really good listen. So that's on Times Radio, Saturday and Sunday, 4 to 7. You can read me in the Evening Standard every Wednesday. Oh, cool. And in the iPaper every second Thursday, and you can just see me, and I also pop up on Good Morning Britain quite a lot very early with some right wing man having a ding dong.
Oh, wow. Excellent. Oh, that's so cool.
Oh, I do have a book as well.
Go on.
Oh, Christmas coming up. So if any of you are slight political nerds or know anyone that's a bit of a political nerd, I did write a book about when I worked in politics, and not many women write books about politics as old as men writing books about politics. So I used to work on Prime Minister's Questions, and I wrote a book called Punch and Judy Politics, which is like history and the art to Prime Minister's Questions.
Nice.
Amazing. Love it.
Amazing.
Can we buy it now?
Yeah, available from all good bookshops and some really ropey ones as well.
All right. Well,
there might even be a few unsigned copies floating around in circulation.
Well, that about wraps it up. Thank you for coming. Thank you to the Museum of Comedy. And thank you to Aisha Hazarika.
Yay! Thank you.
If anyone wants to stick around for a drink, thank you very much.
Thank
Goodbye.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast, and thank you for listening. Bye!
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.